Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Have you noticed that always when you have a really important appointment, something or somebody delays you? It'll be the morning when your alarm clock goes off half an hour late. Your clean socks, instead of being a pair, turn out to be one of each. The lock on the bathroom door jams. The butter won't spread because it's straight out of the fridge. So your knife skids off the toast and knocks your cup of coffee all over you. You now have to go back upstairs and change into the suit that everybody, from your five-year-old daughter to your boss, says you should never have bought. However, these little problems are nothing compared with the major one that Sub-Lieutenant Phillips is about to experience as he joins the Padre in the wardroom.
Hello, Padre. Oh, I say, what a shame. Such a lovely picture, and you've broken it. How did you manage to do that? It must be in 1,000 pieces.
About 1,200, actually, Mr. Phillips. It's a jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, so it is. You haven't done much of it, have you?
Hmm? Considering I only started it about 10 minutes ago, I'd have said I was doing all right, Jack.
Oh, what's it supposed to be?
If you look on the lid of the box, you will observe it says London Street Scene, puzzle number 12, the 12th puzzle, St. Paul from Ludgate Hill.
Oh, so it is. I should have guessed. You should have brought number 11, Soho by Night.
I don't think so. No, that was the one they had on display in the shop, and I had to hurriedly avert my gaze. For a member of the cloth, even broken into 1,200 pieces, it would hardly do. Hardly do.
No. What about number 7? Bohemian Chelsea. I think I'll send for that one.
Offhand, I'd say your time might be better employed attempting to complete number 5, feeding the pigeons in Trafalgar Square. The birds depicted therein are at least properly attired.
Pity.
And, talking of attire, far be it from me to question a fellow officer's sartorial appearance, but whilst I have nothing but admiration for your gentleman's hosiery, do you not think that something has been omitted from your lower extremities?
What? Oh, you mean my socks. What's the matter with them?
They haven't got any shoes on.
Well, actually, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee is having my shoes polished for me by Able Seaman Johnson.
Congratulations. I presume that means you're off air from the town tonight.
Well, you know what they say, Padre. All work and no play makes Jolly Jack a dull boy.
Quite. And whosoever thought up that particular adage increased the problems of my work beyond all bounds.
Excuse me.
Ah, there you are at last, Chief. Now, what about my shoes?
And a very fine piece of hand-stitched leather they was, sir.
Was?
Hello, Padre. Having a bit of a jigsaw?
Well, I was hoping.
Oh, yeah, London Street Scenes, number 12, eh? Odd luck. Next time, try number 7.
My shoes, Chief.
No, sir, they was 8.5. Number 7 is Bohemian Chelsea. It would take my advice.
Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, what about my shoes? Where are they?
A good question, sir. Oh, look, Padre. That little bit there. Look, the one shaped like the back of a bus. Look, it fits in up the top there.
Chief, that piece is the back of a bus. And frankly, I hardly think the center of the dome of St. Paul's is a suitable place for the destination board of a number 9. Let us face it. The occupants of that particular edifice should already know where they are going.
Yes, sir, quite.
Chief, I demand to know what has happened to my shoes. My little pink piggies are getting pneumonia.
Yeah, well, that would be from the draft through the potato you've got in each heel, sir.
What? Beg your pardon, Padre.
Granted, of course. However, Chief, I do feel Mr. Phillips is entitled to know the fate of his footwear.
Yes, Padre. Well, I'm very much afraid there's been a bit of a contra temple. Contra pimple. A temple contra. A temple contra. Fatso's made a right porridge of it.
He's what?
Well, it wasn't his fault, sir. Half a tin of blacking he used, and he couldn't get no shine on them at all.
Why not?
Wrong shoes, sir. They were your brown suede.
Well, even so, he should have been able to get...
They were my what? Abel Stephen Johnson's apologies, sir, and he says, would you care to wear the lend of his sea boots?
Does he? My compliments to Abel Seaman Johnson. And if I catch him, I'll wrap his beggar pardon Parvy sea boots round his beggar pardon Parvy neck.
Nailed, nailed, Mr. Phillips. Simmer down. Why not accept our rotund fellow seafarer's noble gesture of a lend of his sea boots, eh? After all, such footwear would cover up the ever-increasing potatoes in your heels.
Not only his heels, either, Padre. Look, his toes have popped out the other end as well. Eh? Those aren't socks you've got on, sir. They're foot mittens.
Nummy, if they spread any further, I'll have bald footsies.
Hey,
oh, hello, Chief. Hello, Padre. Hello. Good gracious. Have you been doing, Mr. Phillips? Having a paddle?
Certainly not.
Then why are you walking about with your feet in little bathing trunks?
They're not little bathing trunks, Mr. Murray. Sir, they're his foot mittens.
Exactly. Look, does everybody have to keep staring at Leslie's toes? Well, they are rather fascinating. They wriggle.
They do not wriggle.
They do. They're wriggling now.
They're not.
They are, you know.
They aren't.
Aren't.
They are.
They aren't. My toes are under perfect control. Why are they wriggling?
I ordered them to.
Well, in that case, sir, why have they stopped wriggling?
They haven't.
They have.
Haven't.
Have. Day night, chap. Day night.
Hardly present at all that. It hardly seems necessary to allow the seeds of discourse to bloom and flourish. Merely because one of our flock is the unfortunate possessor of a twisty turn. Twitchy
turn! Oh, blimey, here we go again.
They do not twitch.
No, but they wriggle.
Don't.
Do.
Don't.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Where exactly were you thinking of going?
Oh, of course, I was forgetting. You haven't seen her, have you?
Seen her?
Seen who?
The new wren in old Pover's office. Her name is Amanda Martin. She's only temporary, of course. In fact, she's only there for a couple of days while Heather is on leave. But 2 days should be plenty for Leslie to get his feet under the desk.
It's amazing, isn't it? If there's a new bird about, he knows her vital statistics within an hour.
Yes, 38, 22, 36.
Wait a minute. I have seen her. She's the one with the great big...
Beg your pardon, Padre. Dear kind, granted all realms.
Yeah, thanks very much. Right, well, if you chaps will just excuse me, I've got to dash or I'll miss her.
And where are you meeting this good lady, Mr. Phillips?
Outside Captain Pover's office, I think.
Yes, and if one may make so bold as to ask, where are you taking her, sir?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, what time are you supposed to be meeting her then?
I don't know for certain.
Phone me, Mr. Phillips, sir. How the Admiral Hawkins at can you have a date with a nautical bird? Well, you don't know where you're picking her up, what time or where you're going.
Well, it's a surprise date.
Surprise?
Yes, you see, I haven't asked her yet.
Splendid. In that case, she won't be disappointed when you don't turn up.
No, that is the one. Why shouldn't I turn up?
Because you're duty officer.
Hey! Have a lovely time, sir.
It's a mistake. It must be. I know. I'll get a stand-in. Mr. Murray, would you...
No, thank you. I was duty officer yesterday.
Oh. Then I'll ask Mr. Queeg or Commander Bell, or I'll get old Thundergut's office in time to meet Mandy if it's the last thing I do.
Johnson! Johnson! Where are our seafood?
There he goes. And it should be a sight worth watching.
What should, Chief?
Mr. Phillips, sir. Stomping up the path of true love, wearing Fatso's large economy-sized Wellington.
Yes. All that fuss over a girl he hasn't even met yet. Oh, by the way, Padre.
Yes?
That funny-shaped red bit fits in the middle there.
So kind. But I hardly think that halfway up the main steps of St. Paul's Cathedral is a suitable place for positioning a no-entry sign.
Oh, sorry, pardon.
Martin, that'll be enough for today. I must be off home. How have you enjoyed your day working in my office?
Well, I felt much safer once I was back here in the outer office, sir.
Yes, quite. It's purely an accident, you understand. I dropped my pencil.
14 times in the first 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, it's a very heavy pencil, I think. Well, I'm going now.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
Peek-a-boo.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Phillips.
Lummy. I've peaked the wrong boo.
Obviously. If you're waiting for Wren Martin... I happen to know that another officer has arranged to pick her up.
What? Who is it?
It's Second Officer Jean McLuty, Wren Martin's divisional commander. Good night, Mr. Phillips. Good night.
He's walked. That's what he is. Plain, straightforward, warped.
Keep it, dear, dear. Come along. Swing those arms, girls. That's better. Division smutty now. Division halt. Stand at ease. No talking now.
Coming, ma'am.
Fall in the back, Wren Martin.
Aye, aye, ma'am.
Right. Division, shun. By the right, quick march.
Wren Martin. Mandy.
Go away. I'm marching.
Yes, yeah, so am I. And in these sea boots is not easy. Never mind that. Where are we going?
I don't know about you, but we're going on a clothing parade.
Oh, good. Yes. I could do with some new clobber myself.
Really? You're going to look terribly sweet in what we're going to play.
Oh, class.
Division. Oh. You at the back there. What's your name, girl?
Oh, Phillips.
Phillips who?
No, you don't understand. It's not Phyllis, it's Leslie.
Leslie who?
Phyllis.
Well, Phyllis Leslie. Leslie Phyllis. Whoever you are. What do you mean by coming on parade in your slack? You're improperly dressed.
Oh, not half as improperly as I would be wearing a skirt.
Take 2 paces forward and let me have a look at you. Great ghoulies and ghosts is what you're supposed to be, Puss in Boots.
No, I'm Phillips out of socks. I mean, I'm my feet are full of holes, and my toes are getting froze. Do you march up and down your office?
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, I demand to know what you're doing lined up with my girl.
I'm trying to line one of them up. It was a clothing parade, and I sort of fell in.
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, about turn.
No, wait a minute.
Quick march.
But you don't understand. Mandy's got a date and she doesn't know about it.
Right wheel.
You're breaking up a beautiful friendship and it hasn't even started.
Right. Eyes front, girls. You've all seen a man before.
Yes, but not like that one, man.
I'll grant you that. Division by the right. Quick march.
morning, Mr. Murrickson. A request for a defaulter is ready when you are, sir.
Thank you, Chief. I'll take the request men first.
There aren't any, sir. At least, why, it's not now. There was one, but I talked him out of it.
Really? How did you do that?
Well, I bunged him on defaulters instead.
I see. How many defaulters are there?
One, sir.
Oh. He never stood a chance, did he?
No, sir. And if I have my way, you won't give him one neither. You didn't see me go sing. Help! What did I think? Help! Hip, right! Help! Oof! Check! Leading Seaman Goldstein, sir.
Well, that's a bit daft, isn't it? Telling Mr. Murray my name? He knows it. We've already met.
Be quiet. Leading Seaman Goldstein is charged with misappropriation of certain appurtenances and impedimenta yesterday evening, sir.
Whose appurtenances and impedimenta?
Mine, sir.
And who's bringing this charge?
I am, sir.
On what evidence?
Me, sir.
He really doesn't stand a chance, does he? Well, I hardly know what to say.
I do, sir. Guilty. Stop Kendall's pain. Purchase property to be returned. Hate crushing. Hold. Hate. Come here.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I haven't had my say yet. Apart from the fact that I wouldn't touch his appurtenances with 20 foot of good Welsh barge pole, I've got an alibi. I was with somebody else all evening yesterday when your breaking and entering set was nicked.
With somebody else? Who?
Him.
Him?
He means me.
That's right. You.
But you said him.
Well, him is you when he's the me I'm talking to, isn't it?
It's a different language, you know. That's the trouble.
It's a lug hole full of lower deck language he'll get if he don't give Pertwee's Jimmy back and his war cutters.
Oh, so that's what you lost, Chief. I take it the lead on the roof of the Admiral's office is going to be safe for a bit.
That's taken, that's what it is. And they just shoved a new lot up there. It must be worth every penny. Well, I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Well, I know what I'm talking about. My alibi. And that's you, Mr. Murray, sir. I dropped into your cabin around 7 o'clock last night for a bit of a chat about my promotion to petty officer. It must have been well after midnight when I left. You remember?
Oh, yes, I remember. Every scintillating hour of it.
Yeah, I thought you would. Amazing how time flies when you're enjoying yourself, isn't it?
Tell me, that means you're in the clear, then.
I told you I was. Case dismissed, on cups, about turn, quick march, ta-da.
What about Pertwee's appurtenances? If he didn't pitch me bag of breaking in tools, who did?
Presumably somebody else who wanted to break in somewhere last night.
Yes, but who? And if I get my hands on who, that pillager who isn't half going to find out who's who, whoever the heck you is.
Good morning, Grand Martin.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, very punctual.
I got to my office early, sir. I had 2 dozen pencils to sharpen and lay out on your desk.
Yes. Very thoughtful. Yes. Well, there won't be very much for you to do today.
Oh, I'm glad about that, sir. None of us got very much sleep last night.
Why? Did you have a party in the rent quarter?
Oh, no, sir. But we had a party trying to get in.
Good morning, Captain Colby.
Ah, Second Officer McLutie, good morning. Now, I was just saying...
As you well know, Captain, it's my duty to look after the welfare of my girls. Now then, what's been going on?
Nothing. I dropped my pencil.
14 times in the first 10 minutes. That's just old age remembering youth. But I'm not talking about triviality.
Second Officer McLutie, I'll have you know I'm only 39. And a bit.
And that's as maybe. But if you're 39, I should be in a gym slip and Ren Martin should be wearing rompers.
Yes, well, I gather you have some problem concerning the welfare of your girl.
I certainly have. There was an attempt last night to break into the Wren's quarters.
Good grief. Oh, but I assure you, I was at home all the evening. My dear wife Ramona will vouch
for you. I was not suggesting it was you, Captain Goldie. Though I'll admit you were very quick to deny it. However, I do have evidence to the contrary.
Oh, do you mean you found a clue, ma'am?
I too, actually. This bag of Boggler's tools and several sets of very peculiar footprints.
Peculiar footprints?
Very peculiar. They looked as if they'd been made by a chimpanzee with foot mittens.
Excuse me, ma'am, but have you noticed there's a name on the bottom of this tool bag? It belongs to somebody called Kapok.
Kapok?
Oh, don't be daft, girl. It's not Kapok. It's C-P-O-P. And according to the security officer, that stands for Chinese People's Observation Patrol.
What? They've landed. Where's my tin hat? Sound the alarm. We're surrounded. Yeah, they're outside. They've come for me. I surrender. As a serving naval officer, I demand the rights and privileges that should be accorded to me under the Geneva Convention.
Oh, stop waving your white hanky about, Captain Povey. It's not the Yellow Peril. It's just one of your own officers tapping at the window.
You know. Oh, thank you for that. I need a... Stand aside, ladies. Don't worry, I'll protect you. Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, what do you want?
A date with you this evening.
I mean, two strawberry cornets and a chalk ice.
I think I'd like to come back next week, actually.
Yes, would you really? Well, I've got a better idea. Don't bother to come back at all. There, see? You're quite safe now, ladies.
Safe from Mr. Phillips, sir. But what about Mr. Kapok?
Aye, she's right. If there's a Chinese spy in the dockyard, you ought to take immediate action.
Oh, don't worry. I shall handle the whole matter myself. Wren Martin.
Aye, sir.
Put a call through to the Admiral at once. He'll know what to do.
That's what I like to see. Lightning initiative.
Yes, Captain. We'll take the call in my office. After you, second Officer McLuty.
Thank you, Captain Goldie.
Again. Mr. Phillips, what do you want now?
The same as before. Two strawberry cornets and a chalk... a date with you this evening.
Oh, do go away. I'm getting through to the Admiral.
What for?
Don't you know there's a super panic on? Somebody tried to break into the Wren's quarters last night.
Well, that was me. I was only trying to force open the gate.
What? Well, who made all those funny footprints?
Well, that must have been me as well. I had to take my sea boots off, you see, to stop them being things that go gloomp, gloomp in the night.
Well, I suppose this bag of tools is yours as well.
Oh, you've got them. Good.
Mr. Phillips, do you realize in trying to make a date with me, you've probably alerted the entire security force in Portsmouth Dockyard?
Oh?
Well, to say nothing of making a proper narn of me on last night's clothing parade.
Oh. Well, how about this evening?
Done. 7 o'clock behind the nappy.
What the blazes has happened about my call to the Admiral?
Who's coming up for you now, sir? Here you are.
At last. Hello, sir. Captain Povey here.
At last. Late in again as usual, are you, Povey? Now, Povey, what's all this security rubbish they've stirred up all over the dockyard this morning? Did you start it?
Well, sir, as far as I can
gather... I thought so. Well, blasted well unstarted, can't you? Some young twit of a dockyard rotter's just put me under close arrest.
Oh... Oh, good grief. Where are you now, sir?
In the nick, you clock.
I think I want to die.
If you don't get me out of here, you will, and horribly. What started the panic, anyway?
Well, there's a spy in the dockyard, sir.
Huh?
A member of the Chinese People's Observation Patrol. We have the evidence. I've got his bag of burglar tools in front of me now. It's marked C-P-O-P.
C-P-O-P? You bright blue bungling baboon. That's Chief Petty Officer Pertwee. You can find that bag of his on my lead roof any time. Together with 36 cast iron explanations as to how it got there. Last time, he swore a false nine gale, whipped it out of his hand while he was shopping.
Oh, dear, that means there isn't a spy.
Of course there isn't. So just come out from under your desk and tell those dockyard rossers to let me out of the clink. I'm due at Hurlingham to play polo at 2 o'clock.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, sir. Leave it to me, sir. At once, sir. Incidentally, sir.
What?
Will he be paying?
Yes, he will. So if you value your promotion, pull your finger out and get me out of here. Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Murray, sir.
Yes, Chief, come in.
Thank you, sir. Sorry to trouble you in the wardroom. Oh, good evening, Padre.
Joke, I.
Oh. Well, so you finished your jigsaw puzzle at last, sir. Yeah, very neat and tidy, too.
Faster, Blair, faster, Blair. As a matter of fact, I was hoping to get another one. Puzzle number 14. The 14th puzzle. Watching the old ducks in St. James's Park.
Did you get it then, Padre?
Unfortunately, no. The dockyard constabulary, stout fellas all, no doubt, wouldn't let me out.
Oh, they stopped you as well, did they? Me too. I was supposed to have met Wren Chasen back from Lee, but with a security check on, I couldn't get out either.
Yeah, well, I thought you might like to know that the officer and a gent what ruined your respective afternoons was the same officer and a gent whose amorous inclinations led to the loss of Abel Seaman Johnson's sea boots and the unlawful arrest of leading Seaman Goldstein for the purloin and appurtenances appurtenances and impedimenta bag, which he had, in fact, knocked off himself.
What? You mean you had it all the time?
No, not me. I'm talking about a certain blonde sub-lieutenant whom we all know and love, who shall remain nameless, called Phillips.
What?
Oh, lack-a-day.
Hello, you chap. How do I look?
And the first person to answer that question should preface his comment with a beg your pardon, Padre.
Well, don't panic, Padre. For once, Pertwee's lost for words.
So am I. Why, something wrong?
Oh, no.
Oh, good. In that case, I'll say cheerio. I've got a date with Wren Martin. And this time it's all fixed.
Mr. Phillips, far be it from me to stop you in mid. But you are about to... on the other side of your face.
Eh? What's wrong?
I think it means that you've overlooked the same overlook that you overlooked before, sir.
What's he giggling about?
You, Mr. Phillips, are duty officer.
What? I can't be. I looked on the board. The duty officer is Lieutenant Queeg. Yeah,
precisely. But Lieutenant Queeg stood in for you last night, so you can stand in for him tonight. I've given him permission to go to the Scottish dancing at the town hall.
But you can't do that.
And he's already gone.
But this is Mandy's last night. If I don't see her tonight, I may never be able to see her again.
I'll give the lady me and Mr. Murray's heartiest congratulations, sir. In fact, I'll nip over and give them to her right now. Excuse me. What the blue... Oh, I beg your pardon, Padre. What was that?
Oh, Tish. And definitely Tush. It was the table with my jigsaw puzzle on it. Look at it. Over 1,200 pieces all over the carpet.
Oh, not to worry, Padre. Mr. Phillips will help you pick him up. He's duty officer. He's got nothing to do. And if I was you, I'd make him put it all together again. And don't let him put the back of a number 9 bus in the middle of the dome.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been doing a disastrical to the Navy Lark written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was a sub-lieutenant. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, second officer McCluti was Heather Chasen, the Padre, Michael Bates, Taffy Goldstein, Daniel Evans, and Wren Martin was played by Amanda Murray. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.